As we come together today, I think what it would be really good right now is just to take a few moments of silence, reflection, just silent prayer. I know there are many concerns that we have on our hearts today. You know, as Carolyn and I came back from holidays, you know, life happens. We had a lot of stuff happening this week, and we got caught up with our elders as to what's been happening over the last few weeks and in people's lives, some who've been sick and others who have received news of that's really been troubling and difficult to manage. And so I know we all come from different places right now. And so it's really good for us to take this time just to let go of everything that's been hindering us this past week. You know, it might have been the sins, some sins that have easily entangled us, or it might have been life circumstances, heartaches, troubles. And let us just put them all at the feet of Jesus. Take some time just to, for silent reflection, silent prayer, and I'll lead us in prayer just before we go into our time of study in the Word. So let's just do that now together. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it's for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same suffering we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our suffering, so also you share in our comfort. We thank you, Lord God, for the way that you do come alongside of us in the ebbs and the flows and the ups and the downs of life. We thank you, Lord God, that you come to us and you presence yourself in our lives. And Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are that friend who sticks closer than a brother, that you are the one that walks with us through the valleys of the shadow of death. You are the one who is our good shepherd, the shepherd of our souls. You lead us beside the still waters. You restore our souls. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. Oh Lord, we thank you for the way that you do walk with us, the way that you do give us the way that you give us everything we need for life and for godliness. And Lord, we do pray today that you would presence yourself in a very powerful way in each one of us here today who are carrying those burdens, carrying those sorrows, carrying those heartaches because of illness, because of, Lord, we just don't know how to handle the next steps in life. And so, Lord, just presence yourself here with each one of us, whatever, wherever we are in life, Lord. And we just pray that in all things you would be unto us our guiding light. Help us to walk in your ways, walk in your light, that we might shine your light into this world around us where there are so many others who are walking in darkness. The darkness of despair, the darkness of discouragement, the darkness of illness, who do not have the hope that we have in you. And so, Lord, as we turn our thoughts now and our hearts now towards this message around reaching out as the body of Christ, I pray, Lord, that you would just guide my words and my thoughts and help each one of us to be open and receptive to the movement of your Holy Spirit as you teach us today, Lord, in this place together. We love you, Lord, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last month, a month has gone by so quickly for Carolyn and I being away for the last couple weeks, a few weeks on holidays. And I understand you had some very good speakers here in my place, and with Scott and Adam and John, all really amazing men of faith. And I hope that their messages to you were life-giving, as I understand that they were. So last month in our Table Talk series on bodybuilding, oh my goodness, gonna need a little bit of water. In our series on bodybuilding, we started our 300 series of messages looking at the body in motion. You know, how the body of Christ is to move together. And it has to do with our mission to be the people of God, reaching in, reaching out, and reaching the world around us. In our last message, we looked at how in Christ we've been set free from the bondage of sin and death, specifically the freedom that is ours to live a new life that not only impacts our personal relationship with God, but also our relationships with our brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. That's the whole reaching in part of this series. You know, and about this freedom, the freedom that we have in Christ to build our personal relationship and our relationship with one another. About this freedom, Henry Nouwen states this. He says, freedom belongs to the core of the spiritual life. Not just the freedom that releases us from forces that want to oppress us, but the freedom also to forgive others, to serve them, and to form a new bond of fellowship with them. In short, the freedom to love and work for a free world. That's what this whole, the essence of what reaching in is all about, so that we can reach out together. Nouwen is speaking here of the possibility that is now available to each of us for personal and corporate transformation. Personal transformation as we grow in Christ. Corporate transformation as we grow together in Christ with each other, so that we can impact the world around us. And this is what the Apostle Paul was speaking of, this reality in Colossians chapter 3 that we studied the last time we were together, as he described for us a healing perspective, this healing perspective. You know, when we embrace Jesus as our Lord and Savior, as we come into his forever family, we are given a whole new healing perspective. It's a transformed point of view, an elevated perspective on life, because we have been raised with Christ. And we have experienced that transformation in our soul, because now we are no longer seeing things through our own false self, but we now have a whole new self, a whole new life, new creation way of living in Christ because of his resurrection. We also now share in that new perspective, that new transformed point of view. And we have a new fixed focal point for our hearts and our minds. We're no longer fixed on the things of the earth, you know, those earthly things, but we now have our eyes and our hearts and our minds and our whole way of being is focused on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. We've got a whole new perspective, a healing perspective on life that empowers us to be able to make choices, to choose to live the kingdom life that Jesus has set before us. And if this is true, that in Christ Jesus we have access to this healing perspective, a transformed point of view, what does it mean for us every day on the court of life? What does it mean? It means that we've been given the resources to say no to sin, out with the old and in with the new. Out with the old and in with the new. And because we've been given this new perspective, because we've been given this power from the Holy Spirit to live this kingdom life, we become more aware of our root sins. Those things that entangle us, those sins that entangle us, that trip us up. And then we can make that choice to put them off. And we can become aware of our deeply rooted, reoccurring, unhealthy emotional responses. Those things that, you know, just come out of us when we least expect it. And we can choose to tame them. We can discipline ourselves to do that. We can rid ourselves of all these things, such as anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from our lips. All those things that Paul talks about, it's all possible now because of this new relationship that we have with Jesus. We can say out with the old, and we can say in with the new. Because we're empowered by our new self-identity, our true self-identity, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. We can clothe ourselves with a whole new wardrobe of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. We can be an expression of Christ's forgiveness in the world. These are all the things that we talked about last time. As we reach in, as we allow the Spirit of God to reach into our lives and transform us. You know, in very simple terms, you know, this whole thing about reaching in is to allow the Spirit of God to reach into our lives and to help us to make the choices to live the kingdom life that God has set before us. Enter into that desire to follow Christ and to live in him in his kingdom ways. Now, while I was on holidays, I had the opportunity to read a few books. You know, when you're up at the cottage, got lots of time, you're by the lake, it's beautiful. Sunny day, or it could be a beautiful rainy day. Oh, those rainy days. We had a whole week of rainy days when we were up there. But those rainy days are the days where you sit down and you just read and read and read. And I read one book that I read, started reading over the holidays, was a book by the name of, that was called Canoeing the Mountains. Really interesting title, Canoeing the Mountains. And it's Canoeing the Mountains, Leadership, Christian leadership in uncharted territory. And it's the story, he weaves into the whole of the book, the whole trek that Lewis and Clark went on. And when they were sent out to discover the West and find a Northwest Passage across the United States, and when they got to where they thought they this ridge that they thought, well, after this ridge we'll find a lake and it will just take us right to the Pacific Ocean. They got to the top of the ridge and they looked and they saw more mountaintops as far as the eyes could see. And they had come ready to paddle all the way to the other side of America. But what they discovered is they couldn't canoe the mountains. So they had to adapt, and they had to change their whole perspective on things to be able to complete their mission of discovery. You know, in his book, in this book by Todd Bolzinger, he explains how we are living in post-Christendom times. Let that sink in for a moment. You know, up till this decade, or the last 50 years, 100 years, whatever, we've been living in Christendom, you know, as the church was really, the driving force in shaping of society and of the world, of the West. We were living in this Christendom time, but now we're living in a post-Christendom time. And don't we all feel that? We feel that every day. And so he explains the challenges, or describes the challenges facing the church in this uncharted territory that we're now living. And he says this about the purpose of Christian community and Jesus' mission. And that's what we're talking about today in terms of reaching out. You know, our mission. What is our mission as followers of Jesus? What is our mission? It's to reach out to those around us. But he says this: Christian community is not merely about connection, care, and belonging. Spiritual transformation is not just about becoming more like Christ as an end in itself. In a post-Christendom world that has become a mission field right outside the sanctuary door, Christian community is about gathering and forming a people. And spiritual transformation is about both individual and corporate growth, so that they together participate in Christ's mission to establishing the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Now, what does this mean? What does this mean for us today? You know, Bolzinger here is talking about some very foundational stuff. He's talking about a communal transformation that is necessary for the fulfillment of God's mission, our mission that God has given to us to reach out to the world around us. How are we going to do this as we face this uncharted territory? We've never been here before. Like Lewis and Clark, as they looked out onto those mountains, no one had been there before. So, no, I should say no European had been there before. And so how were they going to get through this uncharted territory? How were they going to fulfill their mission? That's what's before us today. And it cuts this these challenging words from Bolzinger cut to the heart of our foundational understanding of who we are and why we are the body of Christ. You know, as Peter says in 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10, he reminds us, he says, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." That's what he reminds us, who we are. And you know, to be able for us to reach out effectively to the world around us, that is a post-Christendom world around us, we must be able to live together as the body of Christ. We got to have our act together. If we hope to reach out to people and to share with them the gospel, the good news that we have, we need to have our act together. To be able to live together in peace and gratitude as the body of Christ, we must first reach in, like we've been talking about, allow the Spirit of God to reach into our lives and shine the spotlight of God's transforming presence into our lives so that we can become aware of the struggles that we have with our old nature and discover the freedom that we have in our new nature. That's our personal transformation. And then, as members of the body of Christ, we can stand together in Christ to support and encourage one another in our growth and training in righteousness, training ourselves to choose life over death, blessings over curses, every day as we spur one another on toward love and good deeds. This is that corporate transformation or communal transformation. And from this transformation, we therefore have something to offer the world around us so that they see that we're not irrelevant, that we're not out of touch with what the needs of people are. You know, this is the mission that Jesus entrusted to his disciples and to us as those who have chosen to follow him. You know, in John chapter 13, verses 34 to 35, Jesus set out clearly and plainly what is at the heart of his mission that he has entrusted to us. And we call it, you know, Bible scholars call it the Great Commandment. You know what I'm talking about, that Great Commandment? When Jesus says, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. For by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." You know, our mission, you know, according to Jesus, our mission is pretty clear. Love one another. And in loving one another, impact the world around you by loving one another in the world. How did Jesus impact the world? By loving the world. Love one another as I have loved you. Now, how does that get translated out in reality? How does that get translated out on a very personal and corporate level? Well, in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 to 11, the Apostle Peter elaborates on the impact of living out this command from Jesus. And he encourages, by encouraging us to live as God's kingdom bearers. being bearers of God's kingdom values. In other words, loving the world the way Jesus loved the world and gave his life for us. Remember, for God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the kind of love that God has for the world. So we are to live out that love. And how do we go about doing that? Well, here is what Peter tells us, teaches us. And as I read this passage today, I want you to take note. Take some notes, okay? Just take some notes, or, you know, on the sheets that you have before you today, I've written out this passage, and it's there for you. And as I'm reading this passage right now, what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to just take note of any words or phrases or thoughts that capture you, okay, that capture your attention. It might not be the whole passage, but it might be just one thought that just strikes you. I'd like you to take note of that, because I'm going to give an opportunity in a few minutes for us to interact with that as a big group on this, okay? What are some of the things that strike you about this passage? And not only what are those things that stand out to you, but what is the Holy Spirit of God inviting you? How is the Holy Spirit of God inviting you to respond to what stands out for you? Okay, so just listen as I read this passage. I think the most important thing is not to get all, you know, concerned about what am I gonna discover, but it's you know, because that's the first thing we have. You know, this is not a test like in school where you have to get the right answer. This is how is God speaking to you about this from this passage today? What is he highlighting to you about living as God's kingdom bearer? Okay, here we go. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude. Because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. As a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans chose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They are surprised that you do not join them in their reckless, wild living. And they heap abuse on you. But they will have to give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is the reason the gospel was preached, even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to human standards in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the spirit. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind, so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. As faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very word of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides, so that in all things, God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Now just take a moment to sit with what you discovered, the word, the phrase, the thought. Just take a moment to sit with it. And how is the Holy Spirit, or how is the Holy Spirit inviting you to respond to this today? Okay, so what stood out for you? How is the Holy Spirit inviting you to respond to this call to live as God's kingdom bearer, his agent of love, being salt and light in this world? What are some of the things that came to you? You know, it doesn't have to be profound, but it's just, this is something that came to you from reading that passage. What is it you'd like to share? Who's going to be first? Usually the first person breaks the ice for everybody else. So,
well, I think...
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, well, I think for me, right in the beginning, the first line says, Christ suffered in his body, so we should be ready to purposefully suffer in our bodies too.
Okay. And how is the Spirit of God calling you to respond in that regard? As a bearer of... kingdom values.
Regardless if I'm going to suffer, to return love to them no matter what.
Okay.
Still show them the love of God if they persecute you.
Yeah.
We're going to be persecuted just like Jesus was persecuted, but don't retaliate in vengeance.
Okay.
Do that for God.
Okay.
Returning love.
Returning love for, I mean, as Jesus said, you know, blessed are you when people persecute you and say all kinds of nasty things against you, because great is your reward in heaven. Well, you know what? We're still to be salt and light, and even in a hostile world. But, you know, even on a more personal level, you know, the suffering could be the suffering of persecution, but it also could be the suffering of illness. And Peter, if I can be a little personal there, you know, being able to persevere and have faith, even when our bodies are racked with illness, or pain, or suffering, being a testimony to God's goodness, his grace, his love, his mercy, and his healing power. And that healing power may not translate into physical healing, but it's knowing that your mind and your body are healed because they're not temporal. We've got an eternal spirit. That when we die, we know we are raised with Christ. And that's the hope that we have, that we can share even when we're in the place of illness or suffering or pain. Amen.
I had to depend on myself, and I had to provide for myself. Solve every problem myself.
Mm-hmm.
Just becoming a Christian and reading the book of Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
And in Genesis, it repeatedly says, do not be afraid. And God gives you many promises that you can depend on. Do not have to feel you are alone fighting the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
You have a friend in Jesus Christ. What a friend we have in Jesus.
Amen. And it's not just that we have a friend in Jesus, but we have a whole family of friends who are friends with Jesus. And therefore, we're not alone.
Exactly.
And when we can't get, when someone can't get in touch with us through the week, mm-hmm. we have a family that can come in and care for us, right?
And we learn through life experiences.
Right.
Where our Christian friends are.
Right. And that's, and not only that, but then we can be that kind of light and friend to other people around us who need that support and encouragement, a neighbor who's living alone and doesn't have family close by and needs to have someone who cares about them.
And when we reach out to others, we're not doing this under our own power.
Right. It's in that power that Christ gives us as the body of, as members of the body of Christ, to be able to reach out to others that way. What about someone else? What other things that came to you through this passage? We have time for a couple more. Yes, Carol.
What came to me was that I need to be mindful that the Holy Spirit is always available to guide my attitudes, and whether it's when I'm alone or when I'm with other people, the Holy Spirit is available to be called on to assist with or be present.
Mm-hmm.
Suffering, through happy times, through interaction with other people.
Mm-hmm.
That spoke to me.
Yeah. Well, we live, this is the thing, we live a Holy Spirit empowered life. And it's the Holy Spirit who leads us and guides us. As Pastor John talked about last week, you know, dependence on the Holy Spirit, direction, discernment of the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit discerns us where to go, who to talk to, how to reach out. You know, the story of Lydia, you know, you're going across the sea, you're going over there from Troas to meet with Lydia. You're going over there. Holy Spirit empowered, and then not worrying about, what am I going to say to somebody when I get there? Maybe it's just being there. And then God gives you the words to say as you reach out in love and compassion and care to them. Anybody else? Just time for one more. Yeah, Andy.
Because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. To me, that is synonymous with not necessarily physical suffering, but a transformation of the body.
Yeah.
Like, so when we're transformed, we give up things that mm-hmm. are probably to us, you know, somewhat painful, or we just don't want to do it. It's against our nature. But by doing that, that's the only way that we can be done with sin.
Mm-hmm.
In my thinking, like, because you have to be transformed
mm-hmm.
to be done. I mean, to not live a life of sin. I mean, we all, let's face it, we're all going to sin, fall backwards and sin that from time to time. But
yeah.
We know the difference. Transformation is that change,
mm-hmm.
and that's, a, to synonymous with the crucifixion of Christ on the cross.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and you know, to be done with sin. I mean, in the context of what Peter's talking about there, he's saying, you know, you have put off the old ways of being. You're done with sin, you know, because of the sufferings of Christ, but not only that, because of the sufferings that you've gone through, or the transformation that you've gone through. You are putting off sin. You're done with it. And you're putting on the armor of God. But the impact is that people around you look at your life and they say, as Peter says, like, they marvel, or they wonder, why don't you do the things that we do? Why don't you act the way that we do? And because we have a whole different healed perspective on life. We're no longer in bondage to sin. We have been crucified with Christ, and yet we live, and now we live a whole different way. And that's the way that's you know, it's conditioned by the love that Christ has shown us that causes us to say no to ungodliness and yes to the way, the truth, and the life, that way of being. And that leads us into the point, the next thing that I want to just share, because what Peter is emphasizing here is what Todd Bolzinger calls, and this may be a new term for you, but relational congruence. Relational congruence. And this is so important. If we're going to be able to reach out to the world, all those things that we were just talking about, if we're going to be able to reach out to the world with the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, it's not just about going out. I read another book. It was kind of dangerous to read this one, but it was called The King Jesus Gospel and by Scott McKnight. Oh, just an amazing book. About what is the true gospel? You know, if we're going to spread the true gospel, the true good news, the good news about Jesus to the world, it's not just about going out and saying, you know, to our neighbor, reaching out for the purpose of, you got to be saved, brother. You got to be saved, sister. You've got to confess your sins and be saved. Well, what does that mean in the context of the whole gospel of Jesus? And I know that kind of that salvation, bringing someone to that place of recognizing who Jesus is and embracing salvation in Jesus, that is part of the gospel, but it's not the whole gospel. It's not the whole good news. And if we're going to be able to do that as the body of Christ, a community that's been transformed individually and corporately, then we need to live out our life with relational congruence. And this is what relational congruence is. Relational congruence is the ability to be fundamentally the same person with the same values in every relationship, in every circumstance, and especially amidst every crisis that we go through. It is the internal capacity to keep promises to God, to self, and to one's relationships that consistently expresses one's identity and values in spiritually and emotionally healthy ways. Relational congruence is about both constancy and care at the same time. It is both character and affection and self-knowledge and authentic self-expression. Relational congruence is the leader's ability to cultivate strong, healthy, caring relationships, maintaining healthy boundaries and communicating clear expectations, all the while staying focused on the mission. That's a lot to take in, I know. I've been taking that in. I mean, and he's speaking about leaders showing this kind of relational congruence, challenging leaders to be this. And I'm thinking, wow, who was the leader that demonstrated this the most? This relational congruence in terms of outreach, in terms of reaching out to the world. Well, that was Jesus. Jesus modeled relational congruence for us and then calls us to model that to the world around us as we reach out. It's a real challenge. You know, but it's what Jesus said in John chapter 15, verses 9 to 17. When he said this to his disciples, he said, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. For if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And you are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other." You know, to be effective in reaching out to the mission field that is around us, just outside of our doors, we need to learn from Jesus' example and embrace relational congruence as our kingdom way of being. And with this statement that Jesus made here, he's modeling for us that relational congruence. Oops. He's challenging us. Missing something here, so he's challenging us to say what we mean what we say, and do what we said we were going to do, and be who God has called us out to be. See, that's what relational congruence is. It's being consistent, a consistent witness for Jesus Christ in every aspect of our life, every relationship of our life. You know, Jesus, and it's Jesus who modeled this relational congruence. And so to be effective in reaching out to the mission field around us, just outside our doors, we need to learn from Jesus' example and embrace this relational congruence as our kingdom way of being. And once again, Todd Bolzinger summarizes this with clarity and purpose when he says this. And with this, we're going to go into our time around the table for just a brief time. For Christians who have answered the call to follow the Master, who calls us friends and gives us to each other as brothers and sisters, this relational congruence is even more critical. For the mission of Jesus entrusted to his followers is expressed to the world through the love that the disciples have for each other, you and me. The goal of the Christian faith is not simply to become a more loving community, although that's really good. But it is to be a community of people who participate in God's mission to heal the world by reestablishing his loving reign. His loving reign on earth as it is in heaven. Our mission is to love people so much that the love of God, the kingdom love of God, begins to permeate throughout our community, and it begins to transform our community that's around us, our world around us. It's our mission. And that mission resides in you and in me. So, today, as we go to the table, this is a very simple question for you to consider. I say that, and then all of a sudden I go, no, but it's very profound. It's very deep as well. There's just one question, okay? And I want you to take some time this morning. We're going to be coming around the table this morning, all right? This table. To celebrate in remembrance of Christ. Communion. The Lord's table. Whatever we want to, the Eucharist. However that resonates with you today. But we're going to be going to this table. And so, you know, in light of everything that we've been talking about today, I want you to consider this. Take some time to silently reflect on the following. If Christ Jesus is our model of relational congruence, effectively reaching out, bringing reconciliation, healing, and wholeness to the world, if that's who Jesus is, and if as God's people we have been called to individual and communal transformation so that we can fulfill our mission as his agents of reconciliation, healing, and wholeness to the world, if these two things are true, and they are, then I want you simply to reflect on this. Where do you see the evidence of this transformational way of being in your life right now? Where do you see this in your life right now? Where do you see this being expressed in our life together as a local expression of the body of Christ, as a church? Where do you see the evidence of individual transformation and communal transformation today? I want you to think about that individually. And as you reflect on that, then allow the Spirit of God to well up inside of you as a thought or a prayer. Prayer or a thought that you'd like to just share with the people around you at your table. Okay? Or you can just say, just pray for me as I really seek to apply this in my life, and just have people pray for you. Okay? So just take about 10 minutes to do that around the table. And if you just are sitting in quiet, silence, reflection, that's okay today, because we're going to be coming to this table where we can take all those concerns, all those, you know, things to the Lord, and we can celebrate together. So take some time now. Sit in quiet, and then, if you wish, share with people around you a thought or a prayer.